We join with Paul. Welcome everybody out. We're delighted to be here. We're delighted for your presence. This is the first day of the week that we come to worship the Lord and to study from His Word. As you see, we're going to study about the term ready because it's found actually several times throughout the Scriptures. We'll be looking at several New Testament passages. In the definition of the term ready, it means prepared, opportune, seasonable, ready, prepared. And there's some various exhortations and lessons that are associated with this idea of being prepared, being ready, as we see many exhortations in the Scriptures. So that's our study. Hope you'll follow along. And if you have any questions, feel free to call it to our attention. All right, first off, we turn to Mark chapter 14 and what happened in the life of the Lord and the disciples, and we're going to try to make a parallel for us, that is, to make ready for worship. In the book of Mark chapter 14 there, notice there beginning in verse 12, "And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sent forth two of his disciples and says to them, Go into the city, and there you will meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he goes in, say you to the goodman of the house, The master said, Where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And in verse 15, And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Now, they made preparations for the Passover feast. It was part of their worship. It was an annual day feast, and probably a little bit more physical preparations than maybe we have to do for worship. But the lesson is that they made preparations, and they made ready for worship as prescribed in the Old Testament. And of course, we could learn from that, and that is that we need to make ready for worship. That is, would be things like, well, have our contribution, we get that prepared ahead of time, or for the Bible class, or for the Lord's Supper, trying to prepare our mind, preparing our body, but trying to get ample rest so we can be here bright and ready to go and offer our worship to the Lord. And so we look at this example of the Lord and try to glean a lesson from that that we can make ready for worship. And then we read in Acts chapter 21 of Paul's readiness to suffer for the cause of Christ. And we can learn from his example because that will inevitably come one way or another. But there in Acts chapter 21 and there in verse 13, "Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul stood ready to be bound. Paul stood ready to be in prison. And if need be, Paul was ready to suffer martyrdom. And inevitably, those types of persecutions come, maybe not in the same fashion, but persecutions come for righteousness' sake. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, it says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Jesus said at the conclusion of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." And so, there are various forms of suffering that come. Probably won't be thrown in prison. Probably won't be martyred today. Possible, but probably not. But other forms of suffering, people make fun. People make these little snide remarks. You know, they roll their eyes. They have a tendency to isolate and pull away from those who are beacons of light in standing for righteousness. And so we must be ready to suffer when that comes. And then we learn of Paul's attitude and example there in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. He was ready to preach the gospel. Notice there in Romans chapter 1 And down in verse 15, he says, so as much as in me is. Well, that would be 100% effort, so as much as in me is. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so we need to be ready to preach, ready to teach, ready to share the message of the gospel. Paul sets a great example for all of us to follow. And that is, be ready to speak forth the words of truth and soberness. To preach the gospel to friends and neighbors and anybody that would listen to the words of truth. Paul was ready. He was prepared. He was ready to seize the opportunity to preach the gospel there, even at Rome. And then similar to that, a little bit different inclination on it, but Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify, that is, set apart the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer. And that word answer is the idea of a defense. It gets involved in apologetics. That is, that we can defend. It literally carries the idea of self-defense. That is, we'd be to say, well, here's the reason. Here's what took place. And in a self-defense. And that's what he says, that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason to the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Somebody says, oh, why do you believe this? Or why do you think you're going to heaven? Why do you believe that there's salvation in Christ? Well, Peter says, be ready to give answer. Be ready to give defense. Why do we believe that? Well, why do we believe that there's heaven? Why do we believe the Bible? You know, why do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? And as you study and as you grow, we can give a defense, a sound, reasonable defense. And Peter says, you be ready to do that. And then he says, of course, do it with meekness and fear. It doesn't mean that we're arrogant. It doesn't mean that we're haughty about it. But this is what the Lord has done. And because of what he did on the cross, his death, his burial and resurrection, and the witnesses who died for that testimony, we can give an answer. We can give defense that we believe the Bible, that we believe that God has spoken, that he's spoken in his word, the Bible, as the Bible is a unique book. And we have a unique Savior, Jesus, that he was raised from the dead. He's not like other religious teachers who taught and lived and died and yet in the grave. Our religious teacher, Jesus, he lived, he taught, he died, but he was raised from the dead. And that's why we have this hope in Christ Jesus of salvation and eternal life because of who Jesus is. And we can give a strong defense. And any honest man will say, yeah, that's just the way it's got to be. It is indeed the truth. And then we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, be ready to distribute. Ready to part, ready to share, as he describes in the text there. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, ready to distribute, ready to share, ready to impart. It's the spirit of Christianity. I mean, Jesus, he set the perfect example of the one who was willing to share. He shared of his life. He shared of his time. Coming to this world, giving of himself, not to minister to. He didn't come to be ministered to, but he came to minister in sharing of himself. And so Paul is saying that we should be ready to impart, ready to share. Share of our wealth, share of our goods, but to share of our time, share of our talent, share of our energy. All that's involved in readiness to share, being prepared, willing and ready to do those types of things when the opportunities avail according to our ability. As we studied in our Bible class out here, as Paul talked about how the Philippians were helping him, and they lacked the opportunity, and then the opportunity came. You see, responsibility is opportunity plus ability. ability equals responsibility. Opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. The Philippians, they had ability. But at one time, they didn't have the opportunity, so they weren't responsible. But then, when the opportunity was there, and they had the ability, they were responsible. If there's an opportunity, but we don't have no ability, there's no responsibility. It is ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. And so, be ready to distribute, to share, to impart, as Paul speaks of in the text there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So, many things we're seeing. Be ready for worship. Be ready to suffer. Be ready to preach. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to distribute. And then similar, but in particular for the contribution for the poor saints in Jerusalem, be ready and have a ready mind to give, as Paul talks about the brethren there. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice there in number 19, And not that only, but was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind. See, that's kind of where it all begins. It's in the mind. We got to get our mind prepared, and then we can carry out if we have that readiness of mind. Then notice there in the ninth chapter there, we'll just read the first three verses. He says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you, of them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in the Lord, that, as I said, you may be ready." And so Paul was talking about their readiness. In fact, for several months, for a year, they've been ready. And that's where giving is kind of the key, is that we get ready in our mind. And then when the occasion, opportunity is there, then we carry out. But it kind of begins in the mind. A ready mind to give. Whether a ready mind to give financially, or a ready mind to give of our time, a ready mind to give of ourselves, of our energy, but it begins with the mind, that we ready our mind, our spirit in the matter. And then, when it talks about elders, they're to have a ready mind in overseeing the flock. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So those who serve as elders, or bishops, or pastors, those terms used interchangeably in the New Testament, there is to be a readiness of mind for those who serve in that capacity. Not for filthy lucre, not by constraint, but of a ready mind, a willingness to serve as overseers in the congregation. And then we learn from Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, we're to be ready for every good work. Notice there in Titus chapter 3 and in verse 1, "Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Well, that would kind of be a summation, really, of all these other points. Ready for every good work. Whether if you're serving in the capacity as overseer, an elder, or the readiness of mind to give, or the readiness to impart, to distribute, the ready to give an answer, to preach, to suffer, to worship. Be ready into every good work. I mean, you can think about all the other. Ready to visit. Ready to study. Ready to worship. Ready to evangelize. Ready to encourage. Paul, that would be good works that are described. But Paul says ready for every good work. That is the willingness, the preparedness to want to jump up, step up, and to be involved in every good work that the Scriptures exhort and speak to us about. And then, notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back up a page or so. in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Paul said, "I'm ready to be offered." You know, I mean, you look at the life of Paul, and there were times he was under arrest, and he escaped. He mentions about he had the sentence of death in 2 Corinthians 1, and he got out of that. And he was in prison and went to Rome and he was released and then he goes back. But this time when he writes 2 Timothy, there's no getting around it this time. He says, "I'm now ready to be offered." That is, offered up as a sacrifice. "And the time of my departure is at hand." Just like if you were going to set sail and you would go down to the harbor there and the boat's getting ready for departing. And you would get on board. And that's the imagery that he's using, that the time of my departure, that is leaving the scenes of planet Earth. It's at hand. He says, "I am now ready to be offered." And how could he be ready for that? Well, because what he says in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." He was faithful. When you're faithful, you're ready to be offered. When you're faithful, you're ready for death. When you're faithful, you're ready whenever the Lord might return. Or if you're martyred, or if some disease strikes you down, you're ready if you've kept the faith, if you've been faithful to the Lord. And certainly Paul was that. And then, we need to be a ready bride. That is part of the bride of Christ that has made herself ready. There in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife or His bride hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So the imagery there is of a wedding. And here you've got a bridegroom, that's Christ. You've got the bride, and that would be the church. And the church has made herself ready. And He describes the garments that she's wearing. And the garments that she's wearing that's clean and white is the righteousness of the saints. And the righteousness of the saints are those who are applying the teachings of Jesus Christ into their lives, in doing God's will, in making themselves in the garments of righteousness to be a ready bride. Not out there goofing around in the garden and get your wedding dress all dirty. No, you wouldn't see a bride doing that. It's like, it was kind of funny. When Luke and Tiffany got married, it was up in Ohio. He was up there and I had my camera, and I said, "Tiffany," I said, "oh, there's a great place just right out in front of the building." It was summertime. It was nice, and just sort of walk out here because it's a beautiful place to get a picture made. And so she walked out there, and then it's like Tiffany's mom. She like gasped. She thought she was going to be out there and get that dress all dirty, you know. She was just shocked about it. And of course, she didn't, but she sure was worried about it. Well, you don't want your wedding dress all stained and dirty and walking around out in a muddy field or something. Well, no, you're fixing for a wedding, and that's the point that that John is recording there in Revelation chapter 19. We need to make ourselves ready as a ready bride, clean and white, for the marriage supper of the Lamb, of being ready for the Lord's return. And then a long exhortation, which is the summation of being a ready bride, that is, ready to meet the Lord. There in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew the 24th chapter there, I want you to notice there, beginning in, verse 42. And really, the first part of the chapter, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the signs that they would be looking for and be ready. And then he sort of seems to shift gears to talk about the return of Christ, and there's no signs because nobody knows when that's going to happen. But the exhortation is this, beginning in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, here's the conclusion, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house, to give him his meat in the season? Blessed that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, and the Lord of the servants shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an eye that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so the exhortation of the Lord is, be ready. Therefore, be also ready. And that's possible. We can be ready for the return of Christ whenever it be. Don't know when it is. I mean, with all kinds of things that we know about the return of Christ. We know who's coming. Jesus is coming. We know that the holy angels are coming with him. All the holy angels are coming with him. We know there's going to be the shout of the archangel. We know there's going to be the trump of God. The trumpet will blast. And Jesus will come in full regal power and majesty upon the throne of his glory as he comes back to end all earthly things. We know all kinds of things about the return of Christ, except when it's going to take place. Have no idea when it's going to take place. Could be today. Could be this week. Could be 100 years from now. We don't know. Could be 1,000 years from now. But the point is, we know that he's coming, and the only thing that we can do about it is to be ready to meet the Lord. And that's the exhortation, be ready to meet the Lord. And then as you move on to chapter 25 and the story of the 10 virgins, it's making the same point, using a different analogy there. But notice there in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. The way we would say today is like, well, take a flashlight, but then you don't take any batteries in a flashlight. Well, what good's a flashlight without batteries? Well, what good's a lamp without oil? Well, you don't need it during the day. Sunshine. You can see. Well, it's in the night when you'll need the lamp. And so it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so the exhortation is to be ready. Be like the 5 wise virgins. Be ready for the return of the Lord. Whether it's today or tomorrow or 5 years from now, it just be ready. Have our lamps trimmed and lit and having oil, that is, making the necessary preparations to be ready to meet the Lord. Whether it's today or tomorrow or whenever it might be. And so the exhortation is that we need to be ready to meet the Lord, because we will meet the Lord someday. Just don't know exactly when that will be. The Lord's return could be near or it could be far away. And also just the same, even though the Lord may not come for a long ways off, we may step into eternity, because we never know what life holds for any of us. We can be here today, and tomorrow we can be gone. And so the same point is to be made. Whether the world continues on, our world may not continue on. The earth might stand, but I may not be here standing in this earth, because my world will come to an end when I meet the Lord in death. And so we need to be ready to meet the Lord, to be that ready bride, and to be ready to be offered, as Paul said, if such should happen to us. Be ready for every good work, and to be ready and have a ready mind to give, or ready to distribute, ready to give an answer, ready to preach, ready to suffer, ready for worship. And then as we extend the invitation, as we think about all these thoughts of being ready, let's notice from Luke chapter 14 about God's part and what God has done. God has made all things ready for us. There in Luke chapter 14, in Luke the 14th chapter there, in verse 16, Jesus gives this parable. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade, that is, he invited lots of people, invited people to come in. And he sent his servant to supper time, say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And then you read in verses 18 and following, they all began making all kinds of excuses why they weren't coming and why they weren't going to be there and etc., etc. And they were pretty flimsy excuses. And of course, it says in verse 21 that the Lord was angry with these people. They should have been ready. They could have been ready. They ought to have been ready, but they weren't ready. They just began to make excuses. They all with one consent, they all with one accord began to make excuses, it says in verse 18. But the invitation is out there. Come, for all things are now ready. We're going to sing this song, number 317. All things are ready. We've seen that we need to be ready to meet the Lord, to be that ready bride. And the way that we be a part of the ready brides or ready to meet the Lord is to be ready in obeying the gospel and serving the Lord. Doing all these things that we've talked about and all everything else that God wants us to be involved in service to Him. Then we'll be ready to meet the Lord. Whether it be today, tomorrow, or 2 years from now, if we're busy serving the Lord, faithful unto Him, we'll be ready. God has done His part and is doing His part, because all things are ready. Even today, May 6, 2012, all things stand in readiness. And the way we know that, because the world's still standing, is because of God's long-suffering, that the world continues to stand. 2 Peter chapter 3 so tells us that. And God stands ready to receive folks unto Himself. God stands ready to adopt. God stands ready to wash you in the blood of Christ. God stands ready allow Jesus to save you from your sins. All things are ready. God has done His part and will do His part. What He's waiting for is for folks to respond. Because God doesn't make anybody serve Him. He doesn't force anybody to serve Him. It's a willing thing. So all things indeed are ready in God's plan of salvation. He's ready to do His part if we're ready to do our part in meeting the conditions of salvation. And they're outlined in the Scriptures to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's where it began for the Corinthians. Meaning the Corinthians, hearing, believing, and were baptized. We've heard the good news. Jesus has died on the cross, the death and resurrection. We've got to believe that message. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're exhorted to repent. Turn to God. Luke 24. And in verse 47, He says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We're preaching the same message today. We must confess Jesus before men, to acknowledge, to say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, to make that acknowledgement with your lips, to confess the Lord Jesus. And then to be baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And that's how we get started, to make our life ready. To make our soul ready to meet the Lord. to be a ready bride. Come up out of that rotting grave, grow, be faithful, as Peter exhorts, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we err as a Christian, we're not ready. But the erring Christian can be ready. How? By repenting and praying God for forgiveness. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. The song is, All Things Are Ready. Yes, all things are ready. We stand ready. The Lord stands ready. We're here to pray with you and for you if you need to come back to the Lord. If you need to be baptized into Christ and obeying these first principles to become a Christian, we stand ready for that. Garments are ready. Everything's in a state of readiness. God's ready to receive you unto Himself. But the decision is yours whether you obey the gospel or not. It's yours and yours alone. And if you want to obey the gospel and become a Christian, all things are ready. If we can help you, let us know while together as we stand and as we sing.